Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We are ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you.
Let's commence on this week's episode. Is it ever okay to cry at work? If you have ever cried at work, then you know it can feel embarrassing. You may worry about what your colleagues think of you or become concerned about how your outbursts may jeopardize your professional standing. Why is crying at work so taboo? For one, it violates what anthropologists call display rules, or our cultural norms for self-expression and socialization. That's why we have no problem understanding why a friend going through a breakup starts crying over dinner, but we are if we get caught off guard when a coworker bursts into tears during a meeting or performance review. Today, we have Sandra, a special guest, joining our discussion. Sandra came from a high technology and entrepreneurial background, where she successfully made her way up in a high-pressure and male-dominated environment. Until a few years ago, Sandra decided to put her previous job behind as a corporate executive director and began her new endeavor in her career in the wellness industry. Wearing multiple hats as a forest yoga ambassador and founder of the first forest yoga outdoor community in Asia, now on her journey in building her wellness company where she leads, creates, and curates experiential mindful events internationally. I'm so excited to hear her stories on surviving the corporate world and her transformation in reconnecting herself with her body and mind. I'm your host, Vivian, and with me today are Sandra, Melody, and Rita. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Sandra, how's Toronto?
A little bit colder.
Really?
I thought blossom season right now, so it's really pretty. It's around 13 degrees.
Oh, wow. No beach for you.
But it's perfect for like a nice coffee in the morning with like a nice pastry and like a little walk, you know. So a very nice time of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, Sandra, a question for you. Have you ever cried at work or came close?
I have cried a couple times at work, and I've been told that I'm too emotional when I was working in robotic industry. The first time that I have an emotional outburst is when a potential client basically was just really disrespectful and saying a lot of really mean stuff because I was relatively young in the industry. So they think that as a male who has experience in the industry, they can say whatever they want to me. That really triggers me. I start crying, and it was over the phone. So he didn't know that I was crying, but tear was coming out. Mm-hmm. And my coworkers just look at me still taking the phone call professionally while having my tears coming out. So no one knows what's going on. But and I don't think that person up to this day know that he made me cry, because I really try my best to sound professional through the phone.
Wow. That sounds so tough, Sandra.
I think it depends on the nature of the industry, but with a lot of like high pressure jobs, I think it's so common that people actually either would have been put like in a close point of getting close to like wanting to cry or, you know, like mental breakdown. But I do think a lot of people probably would have behaved the same way, which is they wouldn't even allow or they wouldn't want the other person who actually made you cry know that they've made you cry.
As a young female in a tech industry in Asia, I would say in Hong Kong, people often just say that you're young and emotional. They just associate that if you show any emotion, it's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of youth. They make it sounds like this is your fault to have emotion. That was quite early in my journey of building my business in tech. So that's why at that time, I'm not able to, you know, really understand how important emotion is. And I try to just hide it through my voice. Nowadays, I would really argue why we would do that at all.
Yeah, and it's pretty upsetting to know that they associate this emotional side to gender, to female. Your story actually reminded me of the movie On the Basis of Sex. The movie made based on the Supreme Court Justice lawyer, RBG, back in time. She was being commented that she's too emotional to be a lawyer. I think something is still going on in the society that, you know, we haven't really unlabeled it yet.
I guess it's not
much about crying. It's emotions in general. I don't even know like when we started to associate work with emotionless. Maybe we value too much of like productivity and efficiency, and we just sacrifice those personal connections. But sometimes we forget like those things are what make partnership successful or sustainable even. I'm interested, Sandra, like how did your colleagues, did they say anything after the phone call ended, or, you know, how did they handle your emotions?
I will say I'm quite a humorous and nurturing boss at the same time for them. I'm not too afraid of showing my own emotion to whoever on my team. They, of course, check in with me and ask if I was okay, right? But as a leader at that time, I try not to explain too much to them because I don't want to put them in that shoes as well. So I have team members who are male, who are actually quite nurturing, and I have mostly a female-dominated team. For us to be able to be in tune with our emotions and to talk about things other than just work and productivity, this is one of the things that I believe like businesses nowadays need to really harness, because there's so much power in terms of creating a great team. Emotion is part of our life. And if we ignore it, right, we are basically ignoring half of our life. We're basically not really living.
Just going back to the example of what Sandra said earlier, right? Like the emotion, something that your boss then, right? Was he your boss then? That said, that triggered your emotions. I'm quite interested in knowing what kind of emotions he triggered to, you know, get you to a point where you were near a breakdown or you actually broke down. Or maybe you felt like you were being accused or maybe like being misunderstood or like you just felt so overwhelmed. There wasn't a chance or the right opportunity for you to explain. Like all those kind of like ideas just kind of came through my mind. And I just wonder, you know, sometimes it's healthy for us to, okay, acknowledge that I felt some uncomfortable emotions, then turn those emotions or express those emotions through crying. But then, okay, we probably should go back and study what triggered those emotions so that it could actually bring us further, right?
So that's a very good point. That was a potential big client. So it wasn't my boss. He felt very threatened by such a young and energetic and person in the new industry. So he basically was just accused me of being inexperienced. It was a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, a lot of disrespect. I was young too, right? Like part of what he's saying is truth. Having a change and being a pioneer in the robotic industry and bringing in new ideas, people too threatened. And so they try to really, I think he tried to trigger my emotions a lot and he's surprised he didn't.
So I was just thinking, Sandra, like the reason why he triggered you so much actually also tells you he tapped into one of your fears as well. Because maybe that's like one of the worries that you have behind your head and he said it like in that blunt manner.
I think so. I totally agree with that. But also in a way that we need to know that, yes, okay, we maybe in nature have a little bit more emotions, right? In our hormones, that's the power we have. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like self work is to actually figure out how to embody both of the feminine and masculine energy that we have. Everyone have that both side of the energy, the yin and yang, right? And for me, I think at the end of my entrepreneurial journey in tech, I was embodying too much masculine energy. I was trying to prove myself so much in the industry. I become so rational, so structured, but then I start to lose the connection to my own emotion.
Right.
It's not like about being a woman or being a man, right? Like feminine energy have so many aspects, like being creative, right? Imagine yourself being an emperor. Some of the feminine energy, just play. Go have dinner by yourself.
Exactly. I think, Viv, I think one thing maybe like, I don't know, channeling or trying to join the dots of, you know, how you always said you have an image in your mind that you want to be that like lady boss, you want to feel strong. That is actually that masculine energy. So it's not something that you should be ashamed of.
Right.
It is. It is masculine energy, but also it could be like a lack or excessive energy. Tell your subconscious mind that is okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of time when we talk a lot of this, your ego will come out. Kind of want to defend yourself a little bit of like, oh, am I doing it right? Like I'm scared. Like, so your ego karma come. but actually you want to work with your ego as well. Like not working with your ego is such a big part of you, but also your subconscious mind kind of know. And how do you allow that to shine as well?
How emotionally drained were you? Like that pivotal moment where you're like, I'm done.
My realization came when I just couldn't stop crying for 2 hours after getting off the call with my supplier. So I think it's a combination of feeling emotionally drained already, working really, really long hour, and also feeling very disrespected in a way, not being appreciated. I was the industry leader. So it shocked the industry that I completely just quit the whole thing. Right. But I think like at that point, I was so burned out. I couldn't handle this anymore. I booked a lunchtime yoga class, you know, a couple hours ago, so I can't really cancel it. So I went there and all I did was crying in downward dog.
Oh,
like my mat was all wet because of my tears. It was such a changing moment in my life that I realized it is okay to have a full release on your mat. And it's a very safe space, especially when, you know, the teacher holds you. My friends are holding me. And it's so important for us to understand, you know, one thing to be emotional, right? And then this other thing, that emotion control you. And it's also another thing, what are the ways for you to move your emotions, right? That's why nowadays, like, I start to create experience where I help people to really fully express themselves, feel themselves. In those experiences, it doesn't necessarily just be yoga. It can be meditation. It can be movement, right? But to move your emotion out and to feel connected to your body, to be in tune with your body is so important. People talking about the emotion, it doesn't have to be crying. Like how often do we share our excitement, right? Our appreciation? It can be with your boss. It can be with your coworkers. Or do we just hold everything and hide under our computers?
Isn't it so contradicting sometimes the impact of how emotions like lead us to, but also yet like nowadays in a lot of work environments, people tend to hide emotions. It's literally is like one of the most contradicting thing, because if you can untap and actually, as Sandra said, move those emotions or know how to channel those emotions, their level of motivation, their level of fulfillment at work would be so much higher, but yet people just don't do it. It's obviously it's not easy to create that culture. It's something to think about.
Are we taught about, or like kids nowadays, do they talk about the emotions a lot in school, right? This is kind of like one of the most important skills we should have.
And if you think about it, actually crying is like the least destructive way to show your frustration rather than, you know, throwing things or yelling at your colleagues or subordinate or like just lash out in general. But people lose sight of that, at least for me. Like I'm guilty. I'm trying to change that. But I do think that crying is somewhat inappropriate, quote unquote, at work. But I think it's because crying is the most vulnerable way to show emotions, you know, like, of course, like laughter, that it's so easy, excitement when you close a deal. It reminds me of one time I've known this girl for a very long time. And then all of a sudden she just got out of her seat and she just ran into the washroom. Nobody knew what happened. I was the only one who knew her before the job. So everyone was just looking at me and asked me to go check on her. I had this moment where I was like, if I were her, I would want to be left alone for a while, like 5-10 minutes, and then I'll go check on her. But then a lot of people were like, go, go, go. And that's why I went. I can tell she was caught off guard. She wasn't ready for a company. And I guess that's the difficult part of handling emotions for other people.
Yes. So it's an art to really hold space for people to experience their emotions. But also we talk a lot about like empathizing other people too, right? Like tuning into the emotion and like all this empathizing and sympathizing. I feel like our society hasn't taught us how to do it. No one really had that awareness in terms of that. A yoga teacher, especially forest yoga trained, we spend a lot of time learning how to observe the energy in the room of other people, how to hold space when students have their emotional release. And that's a really beautiful thing, but that's also a thing that people can learn. It's a skill, it's possible. It just haven't been taught.
To be honest, I feel like a lot of the time it might be corporate like avoiding to face this. It's not that they're not aware of the problem, but it's like they either procrastinate in facing that or they avoid it. When Viv mentioned about, you said, quote unquote, you think it's kind of inappropriate to cry at work. Can you explain a bit more on what do you mean by you think it's inappropriate? Like,
I would be surprised if someone cried in the meeting. I would be taken aback for sure, because we were just talking about an issue or problem at work and we are trying to find ways to solve it perhaps. So I think a staff might have taken things too personally and that's why she or he cried. But then I do agree with Vivian that crying is the least destructive way, a very useful indicator to show that the communication style in that room has gone really wrong. It is inappropriate to cry because it kind of confused people, and also it's not really
it's not a personal thing. Like if it's
no one is attacking you. It was just about the issue on the table. But I do think the communication style might have gone wrong. Someone might have been aggressive or someone would have felt wronged.
I guess what Rita and I were referring to is when the person cries because it triggered their personal experience or whatnot, that is like really hard to manage. But of course, like if it's a business conflict and it's something that we need to discuss and crying, it's like that person show that, okay, like my mental capacity is like here, that's okay. But let's set a scenario. Like we're here, like a pitching investor meeting. And all of a sudden, because your senior recently experienced a divorce or something, and she just started to cry out of the blue. It's not that we know that she's going through something, but she just snapped like that. How do we as coworkers support her? Because we do have stuff to do. We have like objectives. We have, you know, a list of things to tackle. How do you make that decision saying, okay, let's take five. Let's regroup in 10 minutes when the scenario does not allow you to. How can we better manage these kind of situations, you think?
A situation where employee kind of put their personal life, like merge it into the work life.
Yeah.
So that would be something, yeah, hard to manage, I think.
How separated do you want your professional life to be from your personal life, right?
Getting to know Sandra's story really made me reflect on how we draw the line between our professional self and our true, authentic, emotional self. Stay tuned for next week's episode when Sandra continues to tell us how she gained back that peace that she once lost to the robotic industry.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.